Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning, along with Erica Mutch. Please give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436, or email jstone@petsofinancial.net. Wow, what an amazing week in the market yet again. Every once in a while, I like to go back and look at how an investment would have performed over certain periods of time. And since we hit record highs again this week, I thought I would try it and just see how $10,000 would have grown from the year I was born, which I always love to admit to, 1973 till the end of March of 2021. A $10,000 investment at that time would have actually grown to a little over $1.3 million. The reason I say this is because time is so important when you start investing. If you would have waited just 20 years, but we'll say that later, and put that same $10,000 into the S&P, and that's what I put it into the year I was born. So 20 years later, do the same thing. That investment would have only grown to a little over $142,000. It wasn't because the market did worse during that second period of investment or because it was a higher return when I started. Both were a little over 10%. It was just the compounding effect of getting that $10,000 invested and having a longer period of time to grow. That's why we push to just get started, even with those small dollar amounts, because it will make a huge difference the sooner you can get those in and get the investment going. Eric and I sat and talked a bit about what we should, you know, cover this week. We always like to start with a topic and have it kind of have a theme throughout. But this week we had a few phone calls that, I don't know, they just really hit and made me realize how important financial planning and getting your affairs in order are, so that something comes up or something happens, your heirs, your family can help figure out what's best for you. We had a young man call, and I want to share this story because it really, really did touch us. His mom's been a client for a long time. She's 77, so not very old. I mean, she's older, but not old. And she actually got COVID. She had already had her first shot, and it was going in for the second, and she wasn't feeling well, so they wouldn't give her the vaccination. She was tested and tested positive. She ended up in the hospital. She had been there for a few days, and they kept increasing the oxygen. So she told her son that he needed to call Petso. He didn't know who Petso was, so he looked it up, and he found us and gave us a call. She had mentioned that if anything ever happened to her, that was the first place to call. Well, she was put on a ventilator unexpectedly because they thought she was improving, so he felt it was time to call us. Honestly, had no idea even who we were or why he was making that phone call. When I spoke to him, he was shared a lot, explained everything that had happened, and that he really wanted to make sure that he didn't need to do anything if something were to happen to her. He said, we never had the time to really talk about what she wanted, where her funds were, what was going on with her investments. And honestly, he didn't want specifics. He didn't really care. It almost just felt like he needed to do something. So he called us. The emotion in his voice when I just told him to release the burden, he did not need to deal with the financial side right now. She was fine. Things were in good shape. We could help him walk through that if the time came. Not when, but if, because she could still recover. People do. I know it didn't look good, but we didn't want him to have to deal with that. So letting him know that he didn't have to take that burden off your shoulder and just focus on what was important right then. It was super important to him. He said that he had never cried as many tears as he has recently. So to be able to let that piece of it go was going to help tremendously. The reason we bring this up, there's so many things you can do to plan in advance for something. We're all gonna die. No one knows when. A disease that she got could have been anything. We had another lady that's just in her elder years of life and she's going to pass soon. It had nothing to do with COVID. But we also did wanna mention, we do look at numbers. We do pay attention to the data when it comes to how the vaccine's working and the numbers and herd immunity. All that is super important. But we also want to say, if something happens to people, we don't discount that. We know that people are losing their lives to this disease and they're struggling with figuring things out. So what we want to say, though, with anything that could happen in life, let's try to get things in good order. So that's what we're going to focus on this show, is trying to get everything in order. We titled it Spring Cleaning. We felt that was a good way to look at it. Spring clean your finances and try to figure out the best way to have things lined out so that if something does happen, you're ready to go. What that might look like is contacting your attorney. We aren't attorneys, but everyone needs a will. Sit down with them and see if everything's in good order. If you made your will 20 years ago and whoever you wanted to be your executor at that point maybe isn't living any longer, maybe you don't talk to them any longer, you don't have a relationship with them, maybe you want to have your kids now be the representative because they're adults and they're able. So look at that and just make sure that's in order first. And more importantly, know where the will is kept. If you don't tell people where that is, it doesn't matter how good it is, how well it's written, but if people can't find it, that's the part that holds everything back. Erica had a client that actually passed when she was, what, in her 50s?
Yep. Her daughter had come to us after she had passed away, and she said, I know that my mom did a will. I know she had an estate plan. They tore the house apart, and they couldn't find it. It was such an emotional burden on the daughter because she didn't know what her mom wanted to do for her burial, what kind of, you know, process she wanted to go through, and it was driving her crazy. So it's so important, once you get those documents in place, don't put them in a safety deposit box and lock away the key, and make sure you tell somebody where it is, or even give them a copy of it if you're comfortable doing that, just so that they know and they can act on your wishes when it's time.
Yeah. And knowing what your final wishes are, the emotion in that lady's face when she came in, when she said, I don't know if she wants to be cremated or buried mm-hmm. or what, it was heartbreaking.
Right. It has nothing. That part had nothing to do with the financial side. It was all the emotional, the life side. And that's so important, just as important as the finance side.
Recently had a family meeting to go over exactly this. It's a single lady, never married, no children. She brought her nephew in, and he was the one that's going to take care of everything when the time comes. And she just wanted him to understand how it worked. So we had a family meeting. We talked through everything. We explained the taxation. We explained what would happen if she went into care and couldn't make her own decisions. We walked through all of that. So preparing people for this is a blessing to them. It's really not a negative thing. A lot of times we don't want to talk about end-of-life planning. I understand that. It's not a fun subject, but it sure does relieve the pressure if you have that all lined out.
Right, and we tried to give our clients kind of just a simple legacy planning form that lists, okay, these are the accounts I have, this is the attorney I work with, this is the doctor that I have, just so there's one document where those surviving either spouse or children can kind of look at this and just get a snapshot of their whole financial, whole health, everything kind of picture. So that's important to just kind of lay that out so that people know where things are.
Yeah. And making a list of account numbers, like Eric is saying, it's a very, very simple form and you can do it yourself. Tom actually uses something, I believe he called it a love letter.
Yes.
And you write it to your family. It just basically says, my bank accounts are here. These are my passwords. This is my login. This is where my investments are held. These are the people you contact about it. And just go through the list, all their debts. You can see that through a bank account, but wouldn't it be nice to have it in one little snapshot?
Right. I had a client come in, I think it was last week, and her mom had passed away last year. And we had gone through the process of getting all of her accounts rolled over. She and her siblings were the beneficiaries. And then she came to me last week and they found another account. So again, it was just kind of one that was outlying, not at where the other ones were held. So, you know, that list is important, or just knowing where the accounts are is helpful.
Very. And simple things, and we'll talk more in detail about the specifics on making sure your titling's right, going through old statements, getting rid of them so people don't think there's accounts out there that may not exist any longer. We'll go in through that in a little bit more detail, but before we do that, let's go ahead and jump to the phones. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hello, Jennifer and Erica. Fine, thanks. I am virus-free and so far vaccine-free, and I'll always be vaccine-free. I'm still kicking well and just doing very well.
Good, good, good. And you have all your stuff in good order so that people can take care of things if they need to?
Well, no. You know, like everybody, you know, afraid of doing the old will. On the other hand, I don't really have a family, so probably donate what I've got someplace, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
But no.
Okay. Well, make sure who you want to donate it to, you list that out, because you sure would hate for it not to go to who you want and end up with, you know, some
right.
distant relative that you don't even know or something like that.
Well, so the thing, you know, I learned, well, I don't know if I learned, but I knew at an early age that life is dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. People in groups are, well, people in life is dangerous, you know. And why look for trouble if you don't really have to? You know, the old expression, a lot of times somebody will say to me, how's life treating you? And I'll say, fine, I keep out of life's way, and it keeps out of my way.
Good,
and
good.
And so, anyway.
Good.
So, I've come to the realization I will not trust anything anybody anywhere says. You know, whether it's the government, whether it's the medical establishment, everybody's cooking books. You don't know what's true, what's not. And the only thing you have to rely on is yourself, with the help of God, of course, but yourself, and that's pretty much it. So, well, for instance, I've gone down to a place, you know, I have high blood pressure, so anyway, I get prescribed this drug, you know, and I do not like drugs, do not want drugs. I want to do things naturally if I can. So anyway, I get the prescription, then I start looking into this drug on the internet and this, that, and the other. And I find out, you know, bad reviews, lawsuits, et cetera, you know, side effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, there's no free lunch, you know, and the same thing with vaccine or whatever. You know, and your body, basically, anything you put into your body that's not natural, there's going to be problems because your body was not designed like that. And the same thing with this vaccine, you know, they do it, they rush it through, and then who's going to know what, you know, is what's happening in the long term, so...
Sure, sure.
You know, that's just, I guess, a risk everybody takes. But fear, you know, the old FDR, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Well, fear sells. Fear and sex are the two things that sell like everything.
Sure, sure. Very good point.
So,
yep.
You know, anyway, buyer beware.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm still investing and still a going concern, to use a term in accounting. So I'm still a going concern.
Good, Jim. Good. Well, great to talk to you. We appreciate you calling us.
Yeah, I like to prime the old pump. So hopefully
it.
Other people. And anyway.
Yeah, good. Well, we hope you got it started because we always like calls.
Continue to talk morbidity.
Isn't it a pleasant topic?
Yeah. Saturday morning wake up.
What the heck?
Yeah, you right. Know? All right, Jim, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So please do give us a call because we would like to answer any questions that may come up. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Email's fine, too. jstone@petsofinancial.net. All right. Don't forget, the tax deadline was extended. So if you haven't filed your taxes yet, make sure you do. Fund your Roths, fund your IRAs if you're eligible for either. Super important to get that going, like we said at the beginning of the show, compounding. So please, if you have not funded those yet, contact your accountant. If you still have time and they haven't filed, you still have time to do so.
And you can also still contribute to your HSA. So if you're still looking for deductions, that's another way that you can get a little bit more put away for the 2020 year.
Good, good. And it is May 17th is the new deadline. So then you do have a little bit more time. I know if you filed your taxes and you want to do a deductible IRA, you're kind of out of luck. But I still think you can maybe potentially do the Roth because it doesn't affect your taxes at this point. So get those going for 2020 and don't miss those years. You want to get it going. Also, the limits have not increased, but we wish they would. There's still $6,000 for under 50, $7,000 for over, that $1,000 catch up for anybody that's over the age of 50. So a couple of reasons to continue to get older. You get to contribute more to your investments and hopefully catch up.
And just kind of a funny quick story. So I had spoken with a gentleman back in 2017. It was December, right after Christmas time. And he had talked to me about setting up a Roth. He was ready to put in his $6,000 and get up and get going. And so he never did. And he had called me on an annual basis and said, okay, I'm ready this year. And it just never pulled the trigger. We had talked about it. So just for fun, he actually did open an account this week and is putting in his max contributions. But I was curious to see what he missed out on. Like Jennifer was talking about the compounding and getting started isn't so important. So back in December of 2017, if he would have put in that $12,000, so for him and his wife, if he had just invested it in the S&P, at the end of March of this year, it would have been worth about $18,000, $19,000. So that's about a 14, almost 15% return that he had missed out on just by waiting to get that money contributed. So again, it's so important to just get started.
Yeah, and then the compounding from that compounding.
Right.
That's the thing too, right? So if 100 grows to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8, and just continues that way, if you cut off that first 10-year period of time, you won't get the last double. That's what people forget. It's like you lose that first 10-year double, that last double from 800 to 1.6 million, which basically that's the rule of 72, just to explain what I'm talking about here just a little bit better. If you have a 10-year or 10% return, every 7 years, your money will double. Flip that around, get 7% every 10 years. So to get that money in, you won't lose that last year double where the 1.2 million potentially could be 2.4. It's so important to start investing. We cannot emphasize that enough. That along with planning is super important. So we're going to come back after the break and we're going to do a little more spring cleaning to get everything in order so that you can have a good start to your year. Give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Mutch filling in for Dave Petzo on this beautiful spring weekend. We're looking out the windows here and the sun is shining and I just am so excited to get out and actually enjoy it.
Yeah, I think we were talking about taking Charlotte to the zoo tomorrow, maybe.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
Yeah, first time.
So Erica's little one will be a year old next month, which is just crazy. But I look back at that because my youngest is 20 and my oldest is 24. And I remember those times going to the zoo, doing the fun stuff with them. And it's fun. So take the pictures, take the videos, which is awesome that we can store everything on our phone. We still go back and have some when our kids were like 4 to 5. We'll show them and make fun of them. It's great fun.
Yep. It's fun to see.
Good. So this show is about spring cleaning. I know we started off talking a little bit more about morbidity than we'd like to, but it's something that we all have to face. So it is good time to go through and clean things out. Go look in safety deposit boxes. If you've had one that you opened years ago, check your file cabinets at home. Go through those nice little safes you may have put stuff in. Just go through and see if you might have old stock certificates, statements for accounts that you may have forgotten about. We have dealt with several times people coming in with old certificates that could be in their former spouse's name with them, and they're dated years and years ago. They don't know if they're still good. They don't know if they have any value. And trying to figure out the best way to deposit those, you have to find who the transfer agent is. You have to do legal documents for each different company. It is a lot of work. If you just consolidate those into a brokerage account, then if something happens, you need one death certificate, one copy of any court appointment forms, and it can be handled very easily.
And I think it's an important conversation just to have with your parents too. Say, hey, are you guys holding on to any old stock certificates, or do you guys have a safety deposit box that I should be aware of? Not that they need to tell you what's in it or anything about it, just so you're aware.
Yeah. Older generations tend to be a little bit more quiet about their finances, so they may not be willing to share a lot, and they don't need to. You just need to know where to go to find out if something does happen. I had a client come in this week as well. It was a crazy week. We had a lot of different people come in, and she had a stack of checks that were being issued in her deceased husband's name because he had two companies that were held with the transfer agent, which just means they're not with any person. They're not in a brokerage firm like TD Ameritrade or Schwab or anything. They're just held with the people that issue and report on those shares. She can't figure out how to get them out of her husband's name. So she gets checks every quarter. Not for a lot, but they're just piling up. She can't cash them, so they get reissued, and it happens over and over and over again. So together we called the company that's called ComputerShare, not that that matters, but just to give you an idea. And they were saying that we needed to get death certificates, court appointment forms, because it was just in his name. They needed a copy of her will. The forms need to be signature guaranteed. The list goes on and on and on and on. If it was in a brokerage account, we wouldn't have to do any of that. So now she has to go back in and dig through her files to find everything that they want to make sure we can get these in her name, reissue all the checks. It's a lot. So just look for them, get that taken care of, and you don't have to deal with that or someone else at a later time.
And old statements, 401ks, if you worked for another employer previously, it's a good idea just to get it cleaned up so it doesn't end up $1,000, $2,000, doesn't end up floating out there. So consolidating those is kind of another spring cleaning.
And don't liquidate.
Right.
Okay. Because a lot of times you'll say it's only $1,000. Well, why take and pay tax on something, roll it into the new 401k with your new employer, or open up an IRA and roll it into that? don't liquidate. Because sometimes people say, well, it's just a little bit. They end up paying a lot of tax on it. And what it does is it takes away the compounding, even if it's small dollars. Plus, you're just destroying some retirement money every time you do that. So roll it to a new plan. Most 401ks now are completely portable, so you can roll them anywhere. Even IRAs, if you choose to consolidate in a 401k, you can do that as well. That way you won't lose track of things.
Right. And when you're doing that, you can also make sure that you're updating your beneficiaries on accounts. So if you're rolling an old 401k, check your new IRA, check your current 401k, make sure that those beneficiaries are up to date or the accounts are titled appropriately. A lot of people will have an individual account or a joint account and they don't list beneficiaries. Well, it makes it super clean and easy if you, for example, have two children, you want the money to go to them 50-50 if you and your spouse had passed away, you can add them as contingent beneficiaries on the account so that if something does happen to both of you, it goes to them, they can come in with a death certificate, and it makes it super easy. It avoids probate. So just making sure that your wishes are carried out, your bank accounts, you can add payable on death or transfer on death on the bank accounts as well, makes it super clean, especially for people if there's a sole heir, like the gentleman you were talking about earlier, just so he doesn't have to worry about that. If the person had handled this in the beginning, makes it super easy. So it's just not a burden to deal with when you're already dealing with so much emotionally.
And putting contingent beneficiaries as well. So usually it goes spouse to spouse. If something were to happen, then your children as contingent beneficiaries. So make sure that is updated. Make sure they're added because it probably wouldn't have been done initially. Most people don't think to go to that second level. And also there's a funny word called per stirpes. All that means is if you mark that little box on any form or you write per stirpes on that, it will pass to the surviving It will not pass, excuse me, to the surviving children. So in other words, if you have three children and per stirpes is marked and one child passes, it would go to the other two. If per stirpes is marked, it would go to the deceased child's children. I know that gets a little bit confusing, but basically what it does is it cleans it up to make sure that it goes to their heirs and not the other children, if that's the way you want it to go, like a contingent.
Exactly. And like Jim had mentioned earlier, you can also add charities. So it doesn't have to be a person. It can be a charity. And just making sure that that's carried out. Then maybe you didn't get your will done in time. If you have the contingent or the beneficiaries on the account, it follows that even without a will.
Yeah. And also, if you're going to name charities, it's really good to name IRAs beneficiaries as charities because they can inherit the money tax-free and they don't pay tax on it. So if you want to name a charity, do that through your IRA. If you have one. All right, we're going to jump to the phones. Good morning. Is it Basil?
Yes. Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
I like your concept of spring cleaning.
Yeah. I mean, it's time to do that everywhere, right? Windows and everything.
I am afraid so.
Yeah. So what can we answer for you?
Well, suggestion, perhaps. I think maybe I'm a little late in calling, but you know, you are talking about wills and things.
Uh-huh.
One thing that we have done, wife and I, is we have put together what we call Red Book. Has nothing to do with communists, please. But in the Red Book, we have listings of assets, various accounts, numbers, other people to call, and also for bank accounts, credit union, as well as brokerage accounts. You can bypass will with POD,
yep.
Payable on death.
Correct.
And so that's one less thing to worry about. Also, if you have joint account, you know, usually spouse becomes the person on joint account. So you die, everything automatically transfers to spouse. But then you can also have secondary beneficiaries. So, wills are very necessary. They are not necessary for everything. I don't know if you had gotten into that subject yet.
Yep, just a little bit, but you are absolutely correct. Wills are important for power of attorney, medical power of attorney, those type of things. Or, you know, since Idaho does not allow you to put your house as paid on death, that would be needed for that piece of it too. But very, very good advice. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you, for your program, and say hello to David for me, okay?
We sure will. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with our housekeeping, spring cleaning, and getting good things in order. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Mutch filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. We are doing a little spring cleaning on your finances and trying to get a lot of things lined out and in good order. Please give us a call, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, jstone at pezzofinancial.net. I did want to add a little bit of a disclaimer because we should. Obviously, we are not attorneys. We are just giving you ideas on how to title things to hopefully avoid probate and to get things in order if you were to pass. But you should always, always, always talk to an attorney and make sure that you are getting everything lined out how you want to legally, because we do not ever give law or say we're an attorney. So, sorry, just thought we should get that little disclosure in there real quick. Lately, I've seen a lot of old life insurance policies. They used to be bought for kids, which I never really truly understood why people would buy life insurance on their children. But that's another topic, because as insensitive as this may sound, and it always does, children cost a lot to raise. If something unfortunately happened to them, it would not be a financial loss to the family. So when you're thinking about life insurance, if someone's pushing you to buy it on your children, just stop and think. Life insurance is to insure something that brings a financial gain to a life. So in other words, if one of you is a higher earner, if one stays home to take care of the children, you have to pay to have someone now do the care. There are so many things in life, especially when children are young or when you're just starting off, that are need to be insured. So take a look at the situation. We, as a firm, only recommend term life insurance. The reason why is most people grow to a point that they don't need life insurance anymore. So that brings me to, do you have any old life insurance policies out there that need to be reviewed to see if you actually need it any longer? If you bought a whole life policy or something with cash value, be sure to look at that too. You don't want to pay a huge surrender charge to get out, and all insurance companies charge surrender charges on permanent insurance or annuities that have any sort of cash value. So be sure you look at that as well, and don't just surrender things. Kind of like cashing out a 401k or an IRA. Don't just do it. Understand the ramifications for doing so.
Yep. And big life changes are a good time to look at those. You had a baby, you retired, you paid off your house, you hit $1 million in your investment account. Good times to review the life insurance.
And it's always time to look at your home and auto. I still laugh at myself because this is what I do. And I'd been with the same big PNC coverage forever. I just never really thought about it. We'd had new cars periodically called and updated the information. And it was interesting that never once did I have that agent say to me, you know, you've got this old policy that doesn't cover anything and you're paying a lot for it, which surprised me. So then, of course, they recommended a different policy that was a lot more expensive, but covered better. So we thought it's time to shop. Didn't feel like that was great service. So if you're calling in and talking with someone and no one ever tells you you need to look at this. So we went to a broker. So they aren't tied to just one company. The big firms out there do just sell their product. A broker can actually say, hey, you're speeding tickets. You have this, you have that, you have children drivers. What does the situation in your specific situation need you to have for coverage? And they'll find a good policy. And we ended up paying a lot less and we've got really good coverage. So shop that too.
Yep, it's great. The broker that we work with shops it for us every year, reaches out to us automatically. So find someone that does that for you so you don't have to.
Perfect. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Kim. Hello, Kim?
Here.
Hi, Kim?
Yes.
Hi. How can we help you this morning?
Well, we caught just the tail end of something you were mentioning about traditional or Roth IRA catch-ups for over 55.
Yes.
Wondered if you could run through that again.
Absolutely. It's actually over age 50. In all retirement accounts, pretty much, you're allowed to invest an extra amount if you're over to get a catch-up. So the Roth IRA right now, the limit is $6,000. But if you're over 50, you can put another $1,000 into a Roth or a traditional IRA as a catch-up contribution.
So that would be a total of $7,000.
You got it.
Okay. And that's for each spouse.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. That's what we were wondering, because we kind of caught a little bit, but we weren't sure what at the time.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Awesome.
Good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful weekend.
You go.
All right. Perfect.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. And also, a couple things to think about is you can actually do catch-ups on almost every investment. So that was a good bring to our attention, your simple IRA, your 401k. There's a lot of extra money that can be put away to help you catch up if you're behind. All right, going to jump to the phones again. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, ladies. How you doing?
We are good. How are you?
Oh, just... If it gets any better, I'm going to question my sanity. Well, I'm crazy anyway. But
No.
I do have a challenge for Erica, though. I went out and did the dastardly deed and looked at my account balance and all.
Good.
You've got to make me another $58,000 to get me back to even for when I put the addition on the house and bought my new cash for my new car.
I know.
So,
the way the market's going, she might be able to do that, right?
Yeah, I'll get right on that, Terry.
Yeah. But anyway, on the estate planning and such, my sainted old mother, before she passed, put everything down on a piece of paper. Here's who to contact. Here's all the relatives. Here's this one and this one. She went so far as took all the family photos and put those in envelopes to say, this goes to Aunt Ethel. This goes to Aunt Teresa. This goes, you know, on right on down to the, and it was such a simple thing in a time of trouble.
Yep. No, it's huge. I'm glad to hear she did that.
And, you know, when Dad passed, you know, we'd had that fine example. Of course, I'm lazy and inefficient. I haven't got quite as good a handle on things, but that's Brian's tough luck.
Well, you can do 5 minutes a day, right?
Start with five minutes a day. But, and again, and one other personal thing, thank the Army recruiters here in Boise. My grandson leaves for basic training in another 5 days.
That's right. That's great.
Yeah, so thank him for his service. That's amazing.
A nurse coming out of the system, the Army system.
Great.
Anyway, I just thought I'd put that out there.
Perfect, Terry. We appreciate you.
And we'll talk at you whenever.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, kids. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to go right back to 401ks real quick because we think it tags right into this very well. But before I do that, thanks for your calls, and please give us a call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. When is the last time you actually looked at your 401k? Of course, we're not going to say look at it daily because then people get a little bit nervous and they may make changes that don't need to be made. We used to say check your 401k for reallocations annually on your birthday. The reason we said that is because your birthday happens every year and that's a great time not to let emotions kick in. Just go in and look at it. A lot of times, if you've allocated, you'll see the percentages off a little bit. But if something gets really overweighted, say you have a large cap growth fund, last year did very well, maybe you should trim that or harvest some of those gains and put them into the underperforming asset classes. The reason we say this is we do want to sell high and buy low. And if this happens and it's automatically done without looking at it and saying, oh, but I really like this company or that company, you just make it a plan if you've made over, let's say, 15%, just using round numbers, and one sector's out of whack about 15%. Take maybe half of that and sprinkle it beyond in the others, or if one's down, put it all in there. And just make that a routine to look at it every year. A lot of times, if a plan sponsor changes or the fund is dropped and they replace it with another one, sometimes they'll do what we call mirroring. They'll try to fund that's very similar to what you had before, but if they can't find one, sometimes it goes into a money market account. And if you look at your fund and you say, well, I'm not really performing well, you need to go in and look at what your holdings are to make sure something like that did not happen. You have to pay attention to what you own. Again, it's not to look at it for timing the market. It's for paying attention and not being in cash or not having your money invested the way you want.
And I think a lot of 401ks have what's called a target date retirement fund or a lifestyle fund, and it usually has a number after the end, like 2020, 2060, and that number just says that's the potential year that you might retire. And as you get closer to that year, the allocation automatically changes for you. It gets more and more conservative, more cash, more bonds, the closer you get to that year. So a lot of people will just throw their money in that, which isn't a bad spot, especially if you're not really looking at it on a frequent basis. But just know what that number means and how that fund works.
Yeah. And a lot of times, if you don't want a lot of bonds, even if you may think you're going to retire in 2030, Don't put it all in the 2030 fund because you will be heavily invested in bonds. You may want to go out to the 2060, 2065. Eric and I were actually looking at the holdings in some of those, and they still have bonds.
Mm-hmm. About 8%, I think, in the 2060 fund.
And you think about how, to us, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because if you're not earning anything in bonds right now, don't pay you a lot. Plus, if rates go up, you lose money in bonds. Why would you have any allocation to that at this point if it's growing and you're not going to retire until 2065? Mm-hmm. Next thing is, if you got a raise, I know it's fun to spend, it's always great to have a little extra cash, but if you put the raise towards additional contributions to your 401k, you maybe can work up to that 10%. We do feel that you should be putting 10% of your money at least as a minimum away for long-term retirement. So if you can do that when you get a raise, bump that up a little bit, because you won't really miss it because you didn't have it before, and start contributing a bit more towards your retirement. And if you got to that wonderful age of a catch-up, put it all towards a Roth. You've been paying tax on it already. You're comfortable with paying tax on it. So why not go ahead and put it into an after-tax portion of the 401k? All right, we're going to jump back to the phones. Jim? I think I'm having trouble pushing this solidly. Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi there. Sorry about that. I didn't push the button all the way down, so I wasn't listening or hearing you. What can we do for you this morning?
Hey, no worries. Thank you, first of all, for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Really quick, just some knowledge. If I were to list out, me and my wife were to list out things, assets, and then get that notarized, will that hold up in the court of law?
Are you saying to list it out of who you want it to go to?
Yes.
It depends. If you have qualified money like an IRA or a Roth, it has to be listed as beneficiaries. Because if not,
okay,
your document will not override that. So you have to be sure that if you have any accounts that allow you to add beneficiaries like an IRA, a Roth IRA, life insurance money, 401ks, any of those that ask you to put a beneficiary, you need to list those because that form will not override that.
All right. What about assets such as cars, boats, motorcycles, this, that, and the other?
I would say check with an attorney. It sounds like it probably would be okay, but we actually interviewed an attorney not that long ago, and it's on our YouTube, and she says there are certain rules for Idaho that have to be met for it to be a legal document. Some of it's to have two witnesses, as well as having it notarized. So I would check with an attorney. I can't make that call for you. I'm sorry.
No, no worries. But at the end of the day, something is better than nothing.
Something's
and
always better than
document,
nothing.
Yes. And having that document would be an asset in itself.
It would definitely help whoever was in charge of your estate. I could say that. But the legality of it holding up in a court of law, that would have to come through an attorney.
Wonderful. I do appreciate your guys' time and expertise, and continue to help people.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend.
You take care of yourself.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to do a little more spring cleaning. But as always, give us a call, 580-5436-580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Munch filling in for Dave Pezzo. We're doing a little spring cleaning of our finances this morning and trying to get things in order as best as we can. Add the disclaimer again, we are not attorneys. So anything that we talk about, please double check with your attorneys and tax advisors if it comes to the tax side. We're financial planners, certified financial planners, but we do always rely on the experts in fields to make sure that everything else is in good order. All right, so let's get back to talking about 401ks. Another question and another issue is 401k loans. Everyone feels like if you take out a 401k loan, you're paying interest back to yourself, so it's a good way to take out money. But what you're not understanding is those loans are paid back with after-tax dollars. What that means is every dollar that goes back into a pre-taxed account is charged whatever your income tax rate is. So let's say state and federal combined is 20%. So every dollar that you pay 20% tax on to go back into that account, you're paying 20% interest. That's a big interest to me. It's not just the interest you pay for the loan, it's the tax before it goes back in. So as tempting as it is, don't do a 401k loan. And also, if you get terminated, you decide to quit, you retire, anything with a 401k loan has to be paid back if you are terminated for any reason. which could be a big hit financially, or you're taxed on it as income at the time the rollover is done. Don't do them. That's all we can say. Mm-hmm. Another question I had this week, again, but these were all this week, if you can believe that. A client wanted to take money out of an investment to purchase a car. Under age 59 and a half, so anytime you take distributions from IRA accounts, including Roth IRAs, there are taxes and penalties due. Whatever you put into the Roth, you can have back out. So 5,000 grows to 10, 5 can come back out, but the additional amount would be taxed and penalized. 10% penalty and ordinary income. So of course you don't want to take that out. And the cost, the biggest cost to anyone, is the compounding. I'm going to go back to what I started the show with. 10,000 the year I was born, 73, would have grown to 1.3 million this year, 2021. If you would have waited just 20 years later to do the exact same amount of 10,000, it would only grow to a little over 140. That's in the S&P. And the return on both periods of time was an average of a little over 10%. What we're saying is you can't get that time back, especially with Roth IRAs. You can't get money into a Roth except for the amount you can contribute every year. You can convert, I understand that, but I'm just saying you can't put that money back in once you take it out. So don't do it. It's non-touchable money. Okay? Again, try to get that percentage in your 401k to 10 or a Roth combined, but that's your money, I always say. Everyone says, does the match count towards that 10%? I don't think so. I want you to put 10% of your own money away. You should be able to do that. Also, just because you're not getting a match on your 401k does not mean you shouldn't invest. We've talked about this over and over again, but check that to make sure you are at least contributing what the match is, approaching the 10%. And if you don't have a match, go ahead and still put 10% away.
Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about retirement target dates and ages to retire, if you do end up retiring between 55 and 59 and a half, and you're ready to start taking income and you've built up enough money to do so, if you leave the money in your 401k and take distributions that way, you do not have that 10% penalty on those funds. If you had rolled your 401k over to an IRA and then wanted to take money out before 59 and a half, you still have that penalty. So there's a little bit of flexibility with leaving the money inside of the 401k between those ages of 55 and 59 and a half. So again, just make sure that you're aware of those rules before you make any final decisions on rolling money places.
There is one exception, but there's always exceptions that can cost you in the long run if you don't do them properly. You're able to take a distribution, which is called a substantially equal distribution, up until 59 and a half without penalty, as long as you take the same amount every single year. I know I'm getting in the weeds here. There are ways to do it, but if you blow that up, you're going to owe tax and penalties on the entire amount. So you probably don't want to go there. Again, talk to an accountant, talk to your financial advisor. If you do have an IRA already rolled and you already did that and you didn't leave it in your 401k, there may be ways to do this, but be sure it's done properly. So I'm going to push on Erica here and ask her a personal question that I'm sure she'll be more than willing to share. Educational accounts for kids. When did you start one for Charlotte?
Yep, she was just a couple weeks old, honestly. And I know that's a really hard time to even start thinking about saving for college for a brand new baby. And if you're not in this field, it's probably not something that's top of mind, but it's a good thing to get in your mind, especially as you're thinking about even having kids. Or if you're a grandparent, asking your current children if they have 529s for their children. So it's something that's really important to get started. We got a 529 opened, like I said, a couple weeks into having Charlotte and are contributing. So great way to save. And depending on what state you live in, there might be some tax benefit on the state side for putting contributions in.
Mm-hmm. And in Idaho, it's idsaves.org is the website that you would go to. We don't do this as financial advisors for our clients, but we do suggest it highly because it's outside of what our scope can do. Since it's set up directly with the state, you do need to go there. And we do suggest that. The tax benefit plus the growth. And the management team changed several years back. I believe they use Vanguard now. They're fine. So we think that that's where you should go to do that 529.
Right. And if you didn't get one started right when they were born, it's not too late. You can always, even if they're really close to going to college and you want to use the 529 to at least get that tax deduction, you can funnel the money in, leave it in cash, and then pay it out to the school in the same year. So even if you don't have that potential for growth, you can still utilize it for the tax deduction.
And I actually did that with my oldest daughter, she needed just a bit more to get through. So we just funneled it through, got the tax deduction, and directly paid Boise State. So it works really well. And that's another benefit, is it can be set up online. You don't have to go in and talk with anyone. You attach your bank account and distributions are sent directly to the school. It is very, very easy to do.
And now the 529s have changed the rules a little bit. They've become a little bit more liberal on what you can spend the money on. So you can use it for not just higher education, but you can use it for primary education, I think up to $10,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to a private school and you need help with those costs, you can use it for that too.
Yep. And technical school. Don't forget that. If your kid wants to go into welding or some trades, you can use it for that too. It's just not for college traditional school any longer. So it's a great way to get funds put away. Which brings us to something that we believe, if you haven't reviewed with your financial advisor recently, it may be time to do so. I know 2020 was weird. There were not a lot of in-person meetings, which was odd for us because we do like to see our clients face-to-face. We've gotten better with Zoom. Don't love it, but it's a good way to still get in touch and talk with people. One thing I do love about it is clients that we have out of state, we actually get to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, some of them we've never met face-to-face. So getting to do that is good. Plus, we've been able to have presentations for our groups of clients at a time so we can hopefully get information out to more people, which got us to YouTube. So we've done that now. We started to set that up. The Dow 30 is still one of my favorite. Dave talks about it all the time, but it really does walk through our history as a firm and where we started and where we've ended at this point. So it's very fun to read through. But what I was trying to say is it's time. You do need to sit down. Restate what your objectives are with that financial advisor, because if things have changed, if you know what, you've decided, I don't want to work till 80. I was going to work until I couldn't work any longer. It's time to retire. I'm thinking about Social Security. Don't draw it and then tell us you drew it. Come in and let's talk about it and make sure the numbers make sense. Same with pensions. There's different ways to draw those. If you just see the larger number and you just take a single life benefit, that may not work real well for your family. Are you funding your investments properly? Are they allocated properly? These are all things that we want to help walk through with you. Plus, like we were talking about, all these calls we've had this week, there are a lot of personal things that we're more than willing to talk through, and we enjoy helping people try to think different. I had another person tell me that they don't have anyone really to talk to. They don't have someone to discuss this with. They're single. They're trying to make decisions 100% on their own. So sometimes we have conversations that are totally outside of what's the best investment. What should I do, a Roth or an IRA? It's more on trying to help them walk through things like, I have rental homes. Should I keep them? The housing market's crazy right now. They're personally attached to those, but they're worn out. It's so much work to have a rental. She doesn't want to do it anymore. Should she sell? I can't make that decision for her, but she can at least bounce ideas off of us and we can help walk her through. So if you have a financial advisor that does financial planning, please take time to do that. And also let them know if something's changed. Have open communication. That's so important in any relationship, to actually talk to people about what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and what your expectations are. So if you don't think you're getting what you want out of the financial relationship or that advising relationship, let the advisor know. Sit down and talk to them and say, you know what, this is what I need from you. I used to be a big picture person, but I really would like to see some details now. Can you run some hypothetical charts for me to show me what my retirement might look like? I get the big picture, but I want those details. If you don't express that to someone, we don't know. So sometimes that's important to sit back and just say, you know, I want this.
And if you don't understand what they're telling you, don't be afraid to ask again. Say, hey, can you explain that to me in a different way? Or if they're, you know, talking numbers and you are really a visual person and you want to see a chart, ask them to show you a chart. It's so important for you to make sure that you understand what's going on in your financial world, that you should never feel awkward saying, explain it again. I mean, I've explained things 5 different ways and to make sure that someone understands, and it's so important. Yeah.
And this is your life. This is your retirement. This is your everything. So don't hesitate to not write that check until you're comfortable. Ask the questions till you're ready to go. You wouldn't buy anything without taking time to get to know someone. You wouldn't go to a doctor that you didn't trust and feel very, very comfortable asking questions. It should be that same way with a financial advising relationship. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have only one more segment and we are done today. So give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Erica Much filling in for Dave Petzo today. Thank you for joining us and listening to our spring cleaning program. Hopefully you got something out of this. We would hope that if you have questions, you would email us or call us, even if it's not today. We're always open to answering questions during the week as well. Phone number today, though, is 580-KIDO, 580-5436, jstone@petsofinancial.net. So one more thing that we wanted to touch on, we spent a lot of time talking about the second generation. If your whole, you and your spouse both pass, making sure that your children and grandchildren or your heirs know where your investments are. But you also need to make sure whoever does most of the finance in the relationship, they also know. Several times we have a spouse come in, older generation, normally it's the wife, and she does not know where anything was because her husband had taken care of everything before. That is a very uncomfortable situation for her if there's divorce, death, incapacity, something happens and she now needs to be in charge, or he. But most of the time lately, we still have seen wives come in and be a little more than confused. Don't leave them in that situation. They need to also be comfortable and understand what's going on.
And it also is a very, very vulnerable time. And so if they aren't comfortable talking to you, someone else might start talking to them and they might get sold into a product that maybe they don't need, or they get invested in a way that they shouldn't be. So if they have a relationship with the advisor, it's important so they feel comfortable.
Yeah. Which leads us to, there is spring, everything's opening up again, right? COVID is, fortunately, the vaccines are working. People are starting to get out and about, but I worry that the free dinner seminars are going to come back. I know that people get these. They think it's great. They get to go somewhere and have a nice meal. Don't want to spend a lot of time on this. And please understand, we're not saying this from a competitive point. We're saying this from an understand what you're getting into point. If you go to free dinners and they're at a nice place, whoever's putting that on is expecting that they're going to make something for paying for everyone's meal. They're not doing that as charity. They're not just taking you out to educate you. If they did, they would charge you. They would say, if you want to come learn about something, you pay for your meal. We don't give you a free meal. Just understand that relationship. They're expecting something from you, or they would not buy you dinner. So when you go into that, understand more than likely you will be sold something. If someone's offering you free Social Security planning, free estate planning, free retirement planning, whatever that free thing is that they're giving you, is going to cost you something in the long run if you choose to go and participate and continue that relationship. First meeting, they may not charge you, but they're expecting you to come back for something further. So in this field, there are a lot of different types of relationships. There's fee advisors and there's commission. We came from a world a long time ago. I've worked with Dave for 26 years now. And there were, at the time I started, there wasn't a fee advisory way. You couldn't pay that way. It was all commissions. So you would pay something when you bought it. If you wanted to buy or sell a stock or a mutual fund, you paid commission. Everything was commission driven. That's how advisors got paid. It started to go away from that because of the high cost. They were trying to get it more open to everyone. So a lot of people have gone fee only. We're really, really close. We have some legacy business that's still out there, but it's just small accounts that have been around for a long time, and it's appropriate to leave them at this point. Anything we do going forward is on the fee side. We get paid a fee. Doesn't matter if we buy and sell 10 times. We only get the fee that you see on your statement, and it's listed on there very clearly. Fee advisors get paid that way. The reason I'm taking time to explain this is we want you to understand how you're paying. If you don't know, ask. It's not a hard thing to explain. If you buy this product, I make X percent. Even if they say they're paid by the company, that doesn't mean you're not paying it. I've yet to see an insurance company out there that does products for charity on the investing side. They don't give you investments that you're not paying for in a hidden way. It's hard and frustrating when we see advertisements out there that just say, you don't pay for anything. It's not anything from you. It's all free. We guarantee. All those things that are said that make people feel good. Please understand there's a cost to everything. So just know what you're paying. Very important. Take time. If you're not comfortable asking the question, maybe you're not with the right person. Very important. Okay, so look at that. Make sure you understand it. And make sure you're talking to your spouse. It's important. And one other thing I want to touch on, because a lot of people don't do this, unclaimed property. Okay? We have clients come in and they say, you know what? I think I had this investment somewhere. Do you know if I still have it? we wouldn't know, but we actually helped a couple of clients. Erica has one. I have one that they went on and they logged in and they found an old life insurance policy on their grandpa. Grandpa had been gone for probably 20 years. His parents were gone, so it now went to the grandkids. It really wasn't that hard to go through and get it, but they didn't know it was there. It was like $10,000.
Yeah, that's definitely worth it. And I kind of have a funny personal story. So as we were preparing for the radio show, I wanted to go on the unclaimed property and just put in my name just because. And so it pulled up a $4 check for my husband that hasn't been cashed. So we have $4 out there waiting.
Wow.
But hey, it's a good way to make sure that you don't have anything bigger than that.
Yeah, yep. And you know, you may not want to take the time to go through it for $4, but we did the same thing. We had a couple of checks that were out there. I think they were reimbursement checks of some kind. And we went in and it was very simple. We just filled out a couple different line items, proved who you were, and check arrived in the mail. So go and check your unclaimed property. You can just Google it, unclaimed property in Idaho, and it will actually pull up whatever you have out there. It's going to be sometimes if you have a very common name. Erica fortunately does not.
Nope.
So it's probably easier to find, but common names, you might have to go through it a little bit closer to make sure that it is there. So again, this was our spring cleaning program. We really, really want people to go through and make sure everything's in good order. If it isn't, take time to put it in order. If you need help and you want some guidance, feel free to call us after hours at our show. After the show at our business is great. Or shoot me an email at jstone@petsofinancial.net. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to talking with you next time.